I want to bring a message today. If you have your Bibles there with your families, I want you to turn them to Matthew chapter 6 this morning. And this is where the Sermon on the Mount is this is where Jesus is bringing the message to the people in his day. It's a message also relevant for today. All of Jesus' messages are relevant for today, his teachings. And this passage that we're going to look at today is Matthew 6, verses 25 through 34, where Jesus said, "Do not worry." But I wanted to start off, and I know you see the screen behind me. I'm trying to use PowerPoint during this time because I know everybody's at home watching online TV. And I said this online, and somebody shared it and said, listen to Pastor Popeye. So I'm Pastor Popeye today. And something I can't... There's things that are going online right now, and I just want to, you know, minister to our church family, our congregation, but those that are listening today. Just want to listen to this pastor today. This is not the end of the world. This is not the end. Because I've heard some people, well, you know, Pastor, what horse of the apocalypse is this, you know, that's riding in Revelation? I'm like, it's none of them. This is not the end. It's actually Jesus in Scripture talked about a time that the last days, which we are in, beginning, he called it the beginning of sorrows, is what he called it, where there'd be famines and pestilences, which is what we're in right now, earthquakes, all these kind of things in different kinds of places. And actually, when that began is when Israel became a nation back in 1948. So these beginning of sorrows has been going on for a while now. But I've been seeing people share things, you know, from the Old Testament. And by the way, if you're alive today, we're in the New Testament. We're New Testament Christians. We're not in the Old Testament. And they've been taking scriptures, even though that we can learn things from the Old Testament, and there's types and shadows in the Old Testament. And I want to just share one scripture that I've seen floating around on Facebook, and it's Isaiah 26, verse 20. And it says, "Go, my people, enter your rooms and shut the doors behind you. Hide yourselves for a little while until his wrath has passed by." And I see people sharing that and sharing that and sharing that. And I'm like, what it does is it puts fear. If people don't know the word, it puts fear into them because they think God's mad at us, that God has sent this disease, this virus, this pestilence. And I want to tell you this morning, God did not send COVID-19. He did not send the coronavirus. The coronavirus came from the pit of hell. All sickness and disease is from the enemy's camp. It's not from God's camp. And so This scripture just plays into, when you're using it in the New Testament time, it just plays into the hands and the strategies and the schemes of the enemy to put people in fear and worry and all those things. I just wanted us to make sure, and Mark Ward and I have talked about this a lot, because he's been using it on people for ages. He's very good at it. He can lie to you and deceive you to make you think because you're going through something, then God's mad at you because you messed up yesterday. That is so far from the truth. But he's very good at deceiving people into thinking that, because he knows that he lost the victory at the cross. Listen to this. All judgment, all of God's wrath, all of God's judgment was poured out on Jesus on the cross. That is why he came. And that is the power of the cross. We are not living in the book of Exodus, everybody. We're not living in the plagues of Egypt. You don't need to put toilet paper on your doorpost. I had to throw that in there. I'm sorry. You don't need to put toilet paper on your doorpost so the coronavirus will pass over you. The ultimate Passover has already happened at the cross, which is what we're going to celebrate here in a few weeks at Easter. And so my prayer has been this during this time. I've been praying, Lord, I want to be a good pastor. If you heard Mark Schell's message this morning on the radio, he was also here last Sunday. He was talking about our functions in the body of Christ. And so my function in the body of Christ is to be a pastor. And so it's the function that God has called me to do. And so I've been asking God, I want to be a good pastor during this time of crisis. And I want to bring a message. I want to know what you want spoken to the people. What do your people need to hear right now? And as soon as I had prayed that, I hadn't read this passage in a while, but it just came up in my spirit, and I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me and said, "Do not worry." And it's out of Matthew 6, verses 25 through 34, and we're going to get there here in just a little bit. But I want to ask everybody that's here this morning, the other seven that's here this morning, have you ever had someone tell you, don't worry about it? Yeah. And I'm telling you, I've had people tell me that. I've had people tell me about during this time. And I'm going to tell you, I've had that worry, that fear come up in me, too. It's easier said than done. That, you know, don't worry about it. And I found this quote, and I thought this was really good, and it's worth sharing. It says, 40% of what we worry about will never happen. 30% has already happened. 12% is unfounded criticism from others. 10% is our health. The last 8% is the actual problems we have to do something about. That means 92% of worry is useless, and worrying about the 8% didn't help the situation one bit anyway. And I thought that was so good. So we don't need to worry. And so in this Sermon on the Mount, Jesus teaches, therefore do not worry. Matthew 6, verses 25 through 34. This is the Sermon on the Mount. This is also, and I'm going to pull out of here three ways that Jesus taught us not to worry, okay? And if we're going to start off in Matthew 6, verse 25. It says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And isn't that the truth? Amen and amen. So, what I did was, as I was studying this out, Matthew 6, verses 25 through 34, I've read this several times, and in verse 25, let's go back to verse 25 real quick, it says, therefore I tell you, and anytime you see that in Scripture, that means, you ought to trigger this, why is therefore, therefore? Why is it therefore? And so it's telling you to go back and read the context, so it means read the entire context. So when you go read the context, you got to start back at, you got me, Carrie? I don't know what's going on, but we're going to go to Matthew 6, verse 19. Am I frozen? We love technology, don't we? Got it? I'm going to click it. Okay. Tell me when to click. Froze up. It's okay. I've got my notes. That's why I type them up too. All right, Matthew 6, because it was going to be there's a slide coming that I really want shown. Evidently, yeah. Okay, we'll get me there. All right, Matthew 6 verses 19 through 24 was the next slide. As you go up after Matthew 6 verses 25 through 34, and it says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Okay? And I want to tell you what people have been, and I had a slide that was going to put up here, but what are people storing up for themselves at this time? And I cannot believe that I'm going to say this from a pulpit in the United States of America, in Oklahoma, in the small town of Leedy, but what people are storing up during this time is toilet paper. And I had a slide that had a big old toilet paper roll up there. And I was going to title this message, Wipe Away Your Worry, but I chose to go with the Lord's title, Do Not Worry. And this is what got me thinking, guys. Why? I mean, I have seriously prayed about this and thought about this. God, of all things, why toilet paper? Now I went to our local Walmart, which we go to Elk City to do our shopping. Jada sent me by there because they quit doing the pickup stuff. We've been doing that. We enjoyed that. So I had to go to Walmart, and she just gave me a few things that I needed to pick up. And I had to call her, and I said, honey, there is no meat. There's no hamburger. There is no meat whatsoever. So I went down the cereal aisle. There is no cereal. Even the bad, there it is. There's the toilet paper. Even the bad cereal had been taken. You know, the stuff that nobody ever buys. It was gone. Everything was gone. And she said, well, what about Kleenexes? And I said, well, you know, we've been seeing everything about the toilet paper. So I go to where all the paper products is at. Gone. Everything is gone. And I'm just like, wow. But I was seriously contemplating, and I was like, why, Lord, of all things, toilet paper? Because everything I have read, that this is a respiratory issue, not a bowel issue. That's what I've been reading. I got to tell you a funny story with this. My dad was at I can't remember where he told me he was at, Atwood somewhere, some store. And anyway, he said a lady came up behind him. They said there were several people in line, going through the cash registers, and this lady pulled up, and she's just got her deal just mounded with toilet paper, and that's it, just bunches of toilet paper. And dad said, I couldn't help it. He said, I looked at her, and I said, are you nervous? and she said, what? And of course, I'm not going to tell you what my dad said, but he said, do you have the nervous poops? And I guess everybody around there started dying laughing that was in line, you know, and because she was stockpiling, you know, the toilet paper. And I need to stop because, but guys, I'm seriously, here just let's get rational, because what caused that is fear. What caused that is worry. What caused the panic buying is that. It almost got on me because I'm like, well, by gosh, I better go get some toilet paper. I'm not going to have any either, you know. So that's how it's contagious, even. That fear is contagious. But I want you, let's get rational this morning. Remember, God gave us a brain, so we need to use it. You can't eat toilet paper, you can't drink toilet paper, and you can't even use it to fuel your car or heat your home. It's a single-purpose product that's untailored for this situation, and yet people are fighting each other in supermarket aisles for it. It's called paper panic. I saw a video of people fighting over toilet paper in a supermarket. It's crazy. So as I was looking at this, and I started Googling, I was like, God, why toilet paper? What am I missing? What's going on? Why has this fear made people go to that extreme and stockpile toilet paper? So I went to a website, and it's in Psychology Today, and I found an article by a gentleman, and he was asked the same. That was even the title of his article, was Why Toilet Paper? And the psychologist said it's called the bandwagon effect. And he said, have you ever heard the phrase jump on the bandwagon, right? How many of you ever heard that phrase? So the phrase, this is going to help somebody, may win a game show by knowing this phrase. The phrase jump on the bandwagon is typically used in a derogatory fashion to indicate that someone is following a trend without actually having made a rational evaluation of the idea or behavior itself. So it's just, you see people doing it, you don't even think about it, you're following the crowd, you jump on the bandwagon. You're not even using your mind. The phrase itself originates in American 19th century politics, believe that or not, it comes from politics, when Dan Rice, who was a famous circus clown, ran for various political offices, including the presidency of the United States, and he eventually campaigned for Zachary Taylor, the 12th president of the United States, with a bandwagon and music, thus leading to other campaigning politicians imitating the practice and subsequently the now popular expression to jump on the bandwagon. And we saw a bunch of people jump on the bandwagon. Amen? Bunch of them. So here it is, verse 22. And this is still in Matthew 6, reading down through it. And we're going back up verses 19 through 24. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. I'm going to rephrase that. But if your eyes are selfish, your whole body will be full of selfishness. We've been seeing a lot of that. If then the light within you is in darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve, here it is, this is where the therefore comes from. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And I'm going to tell you, and I know this is kind of hard to swallow, and I know I have been, you know, worried, concerned, all those things, you know, about this time, praying, everything. That's what we need to do as Christians, be praying that this COVID-19 gets out of here. But what I have learned in my own life when things like this happen, when I've gone through crisis, your anxiety level is a good indicator of how much you really trust the Lord. And what Jesus is saying to the people that are all around him that day that are listening to him bring this message, he is basically, and he's telling us today, you can't just see God as your Savior, you got to see him as your Lord as well. You know, not just Savior, Lord too, Savior and Lord. And there's a lot of people out there that know God, know the Lord, know Jesus as their Savior, but they don't know him and trust him as Lord. And so if you can trust God, if you can trust the Lord with your soul, you know, it seems people have seen, they seem it's like that's easier. And I think it's the reason why it's easier is because in our mind it's put off to the future. But when you trust him as Lord, you gotta trust him as Lord on your day to day needs. And sometimes that's, you know, the enemy gets in there and lies to us and gets us all stirred up in fear. And God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. Now, what I want to do is give you three ways. When I bring a message, I always like to bring some life application things for you. And Jesus points out three ways not to worry in this passage. And they're real simple, but very profound. And you have to do them. You have to renew your mind according to the Word of God to do these things. And number one is remember the Father factor. Remember the Father factor. And because I believe in hearing the Word of God, because that's what produces faith, I'm going to read the scriptures that go with this. Remember the Father factor. This is verses 25 through 32. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. You've got to remember the Father factor. And this is where Jesus, through this whole passage, he says, he's telling the people, I want you to think about God's greatness, think about his greatness, trust in his graciousness, and thrust into his goodness. That's why I say around here, God is good, and you know, all the time, and all the time God is good. It's not a Christian cliche. It's to thrust us into thinking that way, because the enemy likes to lie to us and say, no, God's not good. You know, did he really say this? Did he really promise that? And we've got to remind ourselves, no, God is good. The other night, in the midst of all this, sometimes you just need to look up, you know. And Jade and I, we were coming back from Elk City. It was at night this past week. And we drove by Red Johnson Ford, and I used to work there. That's my mom and my stepdad, Red, that owned that place. And we drove by, and there was a bunch of lights on. Well, we contacted my mom. They had accidentally left lights on out there, so we turned around to go back to turn the lights off. We went in, and we turned the lights off, and we walked back outside, and I'm locking the door. We're getting back in the vehicle, and if you've ever been out there on Red Johnson Ford on highway, there at the junction of Highway 34 and 73, it's kind of out there on a little hill, and it was a real clear night, and it was a beautiful night, and, you know, not windy, and we just stood there and just looked up, and the stars were just bright, you know, and I told Jade, I can remember, we just had that pause for just a second and saw God's greatness, and I remember we were getting in the vehicle, and I told Jade, I was like, how does anybody not look up at that and not believe in that there's a great God out there? And sometimes you just need to stop and think about his greatness, look up, you know, go out on a starry night and look up and just see how big your God is. You need to trust in His grace. His grace is for you every day, and you need to thrust yourself into God's goodness. And what I love about Jesus, when He came on the scene, when Jesus, the Son of God, came on the scene, He started telling the people something that they didn't. They always they understood God like in the Old Testament, God, all right, God Almighty, and He's out to get us. God's mad at us, and we've got to sacrifice this and sacrifice that, or He's going to kill us. And that's the kind of the mindset that was. But when Jesus came on the scene, the Son of God, knowing what He was going to do for mankind, He introduced us to the Father. He was the first person that ever started calling God Father. And so 12 times in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, you know, He's telling the people that your Father in heaven loves you. Your heavenly Father wants the very best for you. Quit worrying about things. And now I want to say this as I'm mentioning this, because sometimes when you read that, you're just like, well, I'm just going to go home and sit in my couch and just not worry and just let God take care of it. Well, there's things we still got to go to work. I know some people have lost their job during this time, but we have to do the things to make ends meet. But God doesn't want us to be consumed and obsessed with worry about it. He's going to take care of it. We got to put the steps of faith to it. All right, Matthew chapter kind of reminds me of a time I went to a guy's house and I was ministering to him, and he had a family. He had a wife and a family. And the scripture is pretty strong about, you know, if you don't work, you don't eat. Even the Apostle Paul said, you know, whenever he was ministering around, he built tents so he wouldn't be a laborer on the people for their giving and everything. And, you know, but I went to this guy's house, and he's just sitting in his recliner watching TV in the middle of the day, and he's married and he's got kids. And I'm like, bud, you know, we're talking about, and I said, I was asking him how the job hunting was going. He said, and this is what he told me. He said, I'm holding out for a management position. I said, buddy, you may be holding out for a long time. You better go find something. And I know we have people that have lost their jobs and because of this situation and that we're going through right now. And here's, you know, I'm just saying, do not worry. Keep making the steps of faith. I believe that God is going to turn everything to the good. Amen. I believe that with all of my heart. So God wants you to remember the Father factor, that He's going to take care of you. And then Matthew 10, I wanted to read this out of verses 29 through 31. It says, are not two sparrows sold for a penny, yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. This is Jesus speaking again. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You're worth more than many sparrows. Look at somebody say, you're worth more than birds. But remember that. You have, you guys, and I know I'm trying to help us laugh a little bit in the midst of all this, but God created you. You're an eternal being, and God cares for you. You're going to live forever. Number two is remember the focus factor. And this is in verse 33. Verse 33, and most of us, if you've been around church any time, you know this scripture. It's where Jesus said, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. When you are worried, get this, when you are worried, you're out of focus. When you're worried, you're out of focus. So you need to get your focus. Remember the focus factor. We try to put things first and add God in later, but God doesn't just want a place in your life. He doesn't just want to be prominent in your life. He wants to be preeminent, meaning He wants to be numero uno. Wants to be number one. Great scripture for this time, for any time, really, any time that you're anxious or worried. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. That's a powerful scripture from the Apostle Paul. All right, here's number three, the third thing that Jesus taught us about how not to worry. Remember the future factor. This is in verse 34, where Jesus says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So don't borrow tomorrow's troubles. Live one day at a time. God's grace is sufficient for today. Quit bringing tomorrow into today, because that's what's going to weight you down. I'm taking one day at a time during this. We're taking one Sunday at a time. I'm putting faith, you know, doing things. Worry, and I love this quote by Corrie Ten Boom. She said, "Worrying is carrying tomorrow's load with today's strength, carrying 2 days at once. It is moving into tomorrow ahead of time. Worrying does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength." And I thought that was very good. So what I want you guys to do is I want you to believe this, these three things that Jesus taught us in Matthew 6, verses 25 through 34. And I believe if we will remember our Father factor, our focus factor, and our future factor, we can win the war over worry. Amen. Now, what I want to do is I'm going to speak a blessing over you, but I also want to ask this, because I know we have people listening to us from all over. And I always do this every Sunday here at our church on Sunday mornings, because I never know who's going to be listening, who's going to be here, who's going to listen to it on the radio, who's going to be listening to this online. And I always want to make sure that people know the Lord, because you need to have what Jesus came talking about, this relationship with the Father. And you have this relationship through Him, through Jesus. And it's a simple prayer. The Apostle Paul told us in Romans 10, he said, "Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead." And then it says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So what I want to do is I want you to lead you in a prayer of salvation. And for those that are here this morning, I want you to join with me in praying this and join this with those that are online. Say, "Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me, and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me." And everybody said, okay, and your next step of obedience, if that's the first time you've prayed that prayer, is to follow the Lord in water baptism. We have a heated baptistry here, and we can do that anytime. So just let me know. I saw a funny that because of the social distancing, there was a deal, the dunk tank for baptistries, you know, going on. So, but we can get that done. That's your next step of obedience and following the Lord in water baptism. Now what I want to do is before we go offline, is I want to speak this blessing over you and your family. This is actually an extended version of a blessing that's found in Scripture. It's the blessing that Moses spoke over the people in Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. And so I'm going to speak this over everyone here today and over those online today. "Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. May the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it." And everybody said, amen. Do not worry. God bless you all. See you next Sunday.